Well, I have a title. Isn't that exciting? That's unusual for us on a Wednesday afternoon, but it's called The Word in Our Bones. How's that for a title? The Word in Our Bones. That's where we need it. So we're going to take a little journey through the Word of God and look at this idea, more than an idea, of the Word in our bones. And let's start in Ephesians chapter 5. So if you have a Bible, I know you do. If you have 35 Bibles, pick one. And let's go to Ephesians. We're going to walk through a bunch of scriptures here as we consider this Word in our bones. So we're at Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to go, well, let's start with verse 25. Ephesians 5:25. We'll just read down a few verses. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even like the Lord does his own church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. There's the word, bones, of his bones. Amen. All right, now let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 20. And as we turn there, we will just ponder what we have just read in Ephesians, which says that we are bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh, and that our relationship with Jesus is not a relationship of agreement in doctrine or knowledge or something short of a oneness that is based on a living union. And we all know that in our knowledge and doctrines, but how amazing to know it in our bones. In our bones. That's where we want to know the reality of what his word means to those who are the members of his own flesh and bone and body. We have a entrance in to the word that is well beyond scholars, philosophers, and anything short of being the very body of Jesus Christ. So let's look at Jeremiah. We're going to go to chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20. And we will start with verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 20. In verse 7. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. Verse 8. For since I spoke, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart, like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary with forbearing. I could not refrain. Verse 10, for when I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my friends watched for me to fall, saying, perhaps he will be enticed, and we will prevail against him, and then we can take our revenge on him. Verse 11, but the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Let's just once again look at verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but His word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. There it is. The word was in Jeremiah's bones like a burning fire. Like a burning fire. And through these verses, we can even consider that this guy, this man, this human being was going through massive amounts of persecution. I mean, crushed beyond measure, despairing of life, the things that were the trial and tribulation that this man had to walk through and endure were incredible. I mean, he was despairing of life. If you continue to read down, he's like, why was I even born at the end of this chapter? He's kind of like, I wish I was never even born. It's such a hard trial. But in the midst of that kind of pressure, which probably none of us will ever experience to the degree that Jeremiah did, he could not deny that the word of God was more than a commandment to him or a legalistic thing. He had to do it because God made him a prophet, and he had to be a faithful prophet, and he had to speak the word of the Lord even when he hated speaking the word of the Lord, because it was his duty and he had to do it because he was the man of God that God had commissioned for this ministry of prophecy. This is nothing of what was happening in Jeremiah's mind or heart. He wasn't a religious zealot. He wasn't under the law. He wasn't being moved by a sense of duty or responsibility. He was just a frail human being with feelings and fears and despair and overwhelmedness, just like you, just like me, just like all of us, maybe even worse than us. Could it be that he in some ways may have been more sensitive and more brokenhearted and more easily hurt than some of us? And yet, something greater than the law, something greater than responsibility, something greater than meeting the need of the moment as a prophet, something greater than guilt and condemnation to do it even though you don't want to, was moving Jeremiah. And it was the word of God in his bones, like a burning fire. How amazing that God was able to send forth his word. And somebody, this little guy named Jeremiah, he was called at a very young age. If you read in chapter 1, he was so young, he wondered why God was calling him at such a young age. But even at such a young age, the word of the Lord was more and found entrance into him as something more than a rule, something more than a responsibility and a ministry and a duty and a fearful, consequential, must-do action to be religiously correct. It got in his bones. How do we know the word got into Jeremiah's bones? Because it says it in chapter 20 that we just read. Because somehow the word is a fire in his bones. It's not in his brain. It's not in his duty roster. It's not in his ministerial lined out, marked out duties. It's in his bones. It's not in his doctrine. It's in his bones. The word's in his bones. And because it's in his bones, it burned like a fire that was stronger than his fears, than his weaknesses, than his hurt feelings, than his wanting to quit, wanting to go into depression, wanting to despair of life and wonder why he was born. The word burned hotter and stronger in his bones than all of his fears in his soul and his persecution in his body. The word had found such a deep, 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 deep entrance into Jeremiah that the Lord himself was with him as a mighty, terrible one. With him, unimportant and not to be taken opinion, but just my opinion, I believe that the Lord was with Jeremiah as a mighty, terrible one because he was inside of him, in his bones as a mighty, terrible one, enlivening him, invigorating him, strengthening from him from the inside out, from the inside of his bones out, supporting him as a mighty, terrible one by the living word. making him the bones of Jesus that can stand in the face of such terrors and persecution and shame, that Jesus will stand as the Lamb did on the cross and bless and not curse and keep giving, keep not get bitter, not get religious, not get back, not get revenge. Even though all those feelings may have been swirling around in Jeremiah's mind and soul, something greater was in his bones. Something deeper was in his core, and that was the living, burning, ignited, altar fire, living Lamb, Word of Life. Jeremiah had that, and it held him. It kept him in the darkest hour. Well, Jeremiah is no different than you and I. We have the same word. And the Ephesians tells us that we are bone of his bone. Our faith and our hearts can cry out, let your word burn in my bones. Bring me into life and into real union. Let your word become a fire in my bones, God. Just like it was in Jeremiah's, but even greater now that we are truly your body. Jesus' name. Okay, let's go to more bone scriptures. And I'm sure some of you are already turning there. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. And we'll just start at verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit and set me down. Carried me out and it set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. There's that word, bones. And caused me to pass by these bones all around them. And behold, there were very many bones in the open valley. And guess what? They were very dry. And God said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again God said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you. That's entering into the bones. And you will live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, put breath in you, and you will live. You will know that I am the Lord. How wonderful these verses are. They show us that, yes, there's this valley full of bones. And isn't it true that we get in a crisis or we get in a rut in our walk with Jesus, and it's like we're stuck in that valley. We just can't get out of that rut. We just cannot get free from that place where we trip and fall, and a flesh comes out, and our dryness, our barrenness, our lack of Jesus manifests, and we just trip and trip over that valley time and time again until we just lay down in that valley and realize we're all dried up. We just don't have Jesus. He's just not coming forth. There is no life of Christ formed in that area. Joshua has not possessed that inward part of the land of our heart. And it's overwhelming and depressing. We come into despair, and isn't it funny that there was just a whole bunch of bones laying down in that valley, all dried up. Laying down, probably, possibly. Maybe they just quit. Maybe they just said, every time we get here, we trip and fall. Every time we come to this place, we just never can get through this valley. We never can pass through to the other side. We always manifest our old nature and our bad attitudes and our horrible, horrible ways. We're all dried up from the inside out. The Word of God, it's nothing more than a teaching. Every time we get to this place, out comes the flesh. Out comes that response of the flesh. We're all dried up. We're all dried up. And they're laying there. But the Lord said, hey, these bones, can these bones live? Prophesy upon these bones. And that hearkens us back to Ephesians 5, that they may be dry, and they may be barren, and they may be laying in a valley that's been a rut for many years. But the question is, are they his bones? Are they bone of his bone? Are those dry bones laying in that valley, that rut in their walk? Are they born again bones? Are they bones that have been made one with Jesus through his death, burial, and resurrection? Are they the bones of Jesus? Are they the bone of his bone? Because if they are, God knoweth these bones can live. Because they are connected to the life of God. They're connected to Jesus. Who knows why those bones laid there in dryness? Maybe they kept trying to do it in their own strength. Maybe they kept trying to do it in their own love and in their own forgiveness and in their own kind and sweetness. Maybe they didn't know that the word of the Lord was meant to be in them as a life that would quicken and fill them till they were like the flesh of Jesus, the body of life pouring out his nature. They didn't know. So the prophet Ezekiel, as told of the Lord, says, hear the word of the Lord. Bones, hear it. Hear the word. You know, the bones could have laid in that valley, looked up at Ezekiel. He was prophesying and said, Ezekiel, we've been in class every night. We listened to the sharings over and over again online. We transcribe them into booklets. We've memorized key phrases. We've made music and pictures, and we teach classes, and we do children's ministries with the words that have come, the teachings that have come. We hear the words. But Ezekiel said, no, I'm not talking about that kind of hearing. I'm talking about hear in a way that's going to quicken you into life as the bone of his bone, as the body of Jesus. Hear the word. Well, the bones would have to lay there and realize, I thought I was hearing the word in the way that he needed me to hear, to be his body, his bride, a wife for the Lamb. But the fact that I'm laying in this valley, all dried up, all tripped up, all stuck in my rut for a long time, proves to me that maybe I wasn't hearing the word of the Lord the way I thought I was. Well, it's No Condemnation Wednesday. We still can celebrate that holiday that Randy gave us years ago. We can say, No Condemnation Wednesday. Yeah, so we don't have to go into condemnation over not hearing the word if we haven't been. But we can go into faith, and we can go into hope, and we can go into a living faith that says, I'm going to open up to hearing the word of the Lord in the way God wants me to hear it, in the way that's going to put fire into these bones and cause them to live and get out of this valley and walk out of this rut as the bone of Jesus, as the flesh of Jesus, as a vessel of his life, rivers of it pouring out unto eternal life and washing everybody with his spirit. I believe that's the heart of Jesus. I believe that's why God himself showed Ezekiel those bones and said, hey, speak life over those bones. Speak life into those bones. But start by asking them to hear in a brand new way. Hear in the bones, not in the brain. Hear in the heart where the fire burns bright. Not in the mind where we get all confused and legalistic and turned around on ourselves. Hear in a brand new way from the bone, from the core, from the heart of your being. Not from your head and your doctrines, your legalism and your fears. Go deeper into your spirit and hear what the Spirit's saying to your heart. Live, O bones, live. Receive the breath of life. And that takes us to our final scripture, which is in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and we're going to go to verse 63. If you want to turn there. John chapter 6, and we're going to be in verse 63. And it says, it is the Spirit that giveth life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. There it is, right there, and from the mouth of Jesus, it's in red letters in your Bible. The Lord himself spoke this. His word, the word that he speaks, is spirit and life. They are life-giving words. They are words that are spirit, that they can become fire in our bones, They can give life to dry bones. They can quicken us out of the ruts that have held us for years. That's the power of receiving His word as spirit and life, as the husband washing his own body, cleansing and sanctifying her with the release of His life, not just to her brain, but into her bones, into her core, in a manner that will bring forth His life within her, because she is already one with Him as His body. It said that in Ephesians 5. We seal it up here in John chapter 6. It's the heart of God. It's the way He wants to minister His word into us, that we may live by the Lamb within. So Lord, we thank You. We thank You for the very heart of Your being as it releases life into us, not just as listeners and learners, but as bones. It's the bones of Jesus that can be quickened by oneness as the spirit of those words reaches our hearts and burns within our bones like a living flame. Let it be, Lord. Let it be this semester, this season, this next day of each of our lives. Let it be a whole new hearing, a whole new openness to the word, and a whole new faith that the word will bring forth according to Your own heart. And we pray this and believe for this for ourselves, for one another, for all who will listen, for the sake of Jesus. And in Your name we pray.